Jeremiah chapter 2, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. So not just go and tell them, but really appeal to them, cry in their ears and say, thus says Yahweh, I remember the kindness of your youth, the love at the time of your marriage, how you went after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness to Yahweh, the first fruits of his increase. All who devour him will be held guilty. Evil shall come on them, says Yahweh. So God remembers when he got married to Israel in the wilderness. This was after they came out of the Red Sea and they came to Sinai and they entered covenant with him, which was like getting married to him. But Ezekiel says that they carried with them the idols of Egypt through the Red Sea. And Amos says, and Stephen in the New Testament quotes it, that they carried the tabernacle of Moloch with them through the wilderness, as well as carrying God's tabernacle. And they carried the star of their god Remphan through the desert, as well as the standards of the tribes that God had given them. So they were not faithful to God, even when they got married. And you see this in Hosea's relationship with Gomer, this bad woman he married. Hosea was representing God, and Gomer represented Israel. They got married, but she was flirting around with other men. And this is how they were with their idols. But here, God wanted to look at them positively. Now, when you get married, you're in love, and you see the other person positively. And although God knows all things, in another way, I think that when he loved Israel, he describes himself as falling in love with them. He saw them as if they were perfect. You'd remember when Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel. God put a word in Balaam's mouth where he says, that God says, I do not behold iniquity in Israel. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob. So then God didn't see that wickedness in them. Just as somebody may fall in love with a guy, say the girl falls in love with a guy and you say to her, but don't you realize he's an alcoholic? Don't you realize that he beats you up sometimes? Oh yeah, but he's a wonderful guy. And you think, well, I guess you'll wake up one day. But that's how it is. And this was how God felt about his people. And so he goes on, hear the word of Yahweh, O house of Jacob. Thus says Yahweh, what unrighteousness have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Now he's talking about idols. We become like that which we worship. If you worship that which is vain, that which is empty, then you will become like that. And the world, especially the world of screens and entertainment, is full of that which is vain, that which is empty. And if that's what you love, then you will become as empty-headed as all those things. Neither did they say, where is Yahweh who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that none passed through and where no man lived? They forgot what God had done to them, like we can forget that we were brought out of Egypt, that we were baptized, that God wants to save us. I brought you into a plentiful land, to eat its fruit and its goodness, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests didn't say, where is Yahweh? And those who handle the law didn't come to know me. So they handled God's law, but they didn't know God in the sense of really getting it, really having a relationship with him. The rulers transgressed against me, the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore, I will yet contend with you, says Yahweh, and I will contend with your children's children. For pass over to the islands of Kittim and see, and send to Kedar and consider diligently, and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which really are no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit, that is Baal. He says that nations generally don't change their gods. They only change their gods if another nation attacked them and forced them to worship their gods. But Israel changed their gods, and yet Israel would have said, no, we didn't. We still believe in Yahweh. But if you believe in God and also the idols, then you have actually changed your gods, because you cannot worship anything apart from God. This belief in the one true God must grip every part of our lives. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the spring of living waters, and cut them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold water. So it's not just that they left God, it's also that they had chosen these other idols. Is Israel a servant? Is he a native-born slave? Why has he become a prey? The young lions have roared at him and yelled. They have desolated his land. His cities are burned up without inhabitant. Well, the young lions are Babylon, but they hadn't yet done this. But God speaks in the past tense as if they had, because as Paul says, God speaks about things that are not, as if they are. In other words, this is definitely going to happen. But they could repent and change it. Haven't you procured this to yourself, and that you have forsaken Yahweh your God when he led you by the way? Why are you going down to Egypt? And why are you going to Assyria? In other words, they were trying desperately to make treaties with Egypt and Assyria, thinking that they would help them against Babylon rather than trusting in God. Your own wickedness shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and a bitter, that you have forsaken Yahweh, and that my fear is not in you, says Yahweh of armies. So God hopes that their wickedness would correct them, but it doesn't always. You know, you might think, oh, if somebody becomes a drug addict, well, yep, the horrible life they have to live as a result of that might correct them, but some people live and die in that. Full of old time, I've broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. For on every high hill and under every green tree you bowed yourself to your idols. Yet I planted you a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then have you turned into the degenerate branches of a foreign vine to me? For though you wash yourself with soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. How can you say, I am not defiled, I have not gone after the Baals? See your way in the valley, know what you have done. So he's saying that, yeah, you wash yourself with soap, you say, oh yeah, sorry, yeah, sorry about that. But not really. Your sin remains because you, in your heart, think I've done nothing wrong. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, who tell wood, you are my father, and a stone, you have brought me forth. For they've turned their back to me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of your trouble. Why will you contend with me? You all have transgressed against me, says Yahweh. I've struck your children in vain. They receive no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Generation, consider the word of Yahweh. Have I been a wilderness to Israel? Why do my people say, we've broken loose, we will come to you no more? Well, I don't think that's actually what they said in so many words. They didn't say, God, we've broken loose from you, we're free from you, we're not going to come to you anymore. No, they did. They did come to Jeremiah and say, oh, can you pray to Yahweh for us? They claimed that we do believe in Yahweh. And yet they actually in their hearts were saying that we are now free from God. And so God reads our behavior as if it is our innermost actual words. Whereas we might say, oh, I didn't say that. No, they didn't say that. But that is what they implied, and God sees that. Can a bride forget her wedding clothes? Yet my people have forgotten me for days without number. How well you prepare your way to seek love. In other words, you won't even bother to put on your nice clothes for me, but you dress yourself up to try to get other men to follow you. And that's, of course, referring to how they worshipped the idols and how they were going to Assyria and Egypt for help rather than going to God. Yet you say, I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned away from me. Behold, I will judge you because you say, I have not sinned. So what's critical is that we understand that we are sinners. And these days, that's not a popular idea. Everyone wants to be told, oh, you're awesome, oh, you're wonderful, oh, you're so brave, oh, you're so great. Whereas, although God does love us and assures us that he does think we're great, yet, on the other hand, we have got to recognize that we are sinners, that sin is a real thing. And what angered God most was, I think, not so much what they had done, but that they said, I have not sinned. And I think that is some comfort to those who struggle against sin and say, but I fail. I'm a miserable failure. Well, yeah, we do sin, and you're halfway there saying that. That's a far better position to be in than the person who says, sin, I've not sinned. How dare you upset my feelings by suggesting I've done anything wrong? But you've got to go further than that, not just say I'm a miserable sinner, but to say, and I have been forgiven, and I rejoice in that. Why do you go about so much, ever changing your way? You will be shamed by Egypt, just as you were shamed by Assyria. From there also you shall go forth with your hands on your head, that is, in captivity. For Yahweh has rejected those in whom you trust, and you shall not prosper with them. So she was going around ever changing her way, trying to make herself attractive to Egypt, then trying to make herself attractive to Assyria, so that they would help her against Babylon. And God is saying, look, I am your husband. I can save you. I can do anything. Stop going off with other men and with idols. And all this is so true to us because we have married Jesus. And looking to anybody or anything else to save us is really being unfaithful to him. This is a very big challenge to us.